1 Corinthians chapter number 15 in your Bibles. Read the last two verses together this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 57 and 58. We'll read them both together out loud tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 57 and 58. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for your many blessings on our church, Lord, the good news we received tonight with the financial blessing. But Lord, as we look around, Lord, to see the spiritual blessings that we've seen in our church is just unbelievable. The amount of people you've brought our way that you've added to our church, Lord, the growth spiritually of our people, it's been tremendous. Lord, tonight we're here again because we need something from the Word of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly, the responsibility that we have to be called Christians. We don't want to just go through life in a routine, in a rut. Lord, we don't want to just exist and be Christian in name only. We truly desire to learn from God's Word. There's so much that we have to learn. We don't want to get to heaven and not know who you are. So please, tonight, would you, through our pastor, as he preaches a message you've given to him, may our hearts be in tune with you. May our minds be focused on the truth that's been prepared for us tonight. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open. I'm going to teach you something tonight. It's going to be a bit different. I'm calling this Lessons from a Ford Wrench. Lessons from a Ford Wrench. You'll understand in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." The word steadfast is a Greek word that means screwed tightly into place. It literally means like a nut and a bolt and tightening that bolt to where the bolt won't back off. God says that we're supposed to be steadfast, screwed into place. Some of you have been unscrewed a long time. But unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Henry Ford was an amazing man. Grew up on a farm and hated farm work. He said the biggest waste of work in America is the American farm. And he was right. He wanted to be a watchmaker. He'd got pretty good at it, but the industry was not good at the time. But he really hated farm work. He said, you got to do so much work, and you work over top of work over top of work. And he said it becomes redundant and a waste of energy. And he said there's got to be a way to make it more efficient. The automobile had already been invented by Mr. Benz in Europe. Henry believed, though, that he could build one and make it for the common man. The original car was built for rich people to race. That's all it was for. They had car races back in the 1800s. But it was all the Benz models, and all it was for racing and for betting. That was the only purpose of the vehicle. Henry got to looking at that thing and said, if everybody could own one of those, we could get a lot more done more efficiently and get people from point A to point B and get things done and carried a whole lot faster. And he began to work. He wanted to make a car for the common person. He thought he could build it, so he started and he didn't like it. And he started and he didn't like it. He got through Model A, Model B, Model C, Model D, E, F, G, all the way till he got to the Model T and said, "This is the way it ought to be." And that is where the Model T came from. After about 20 years, everybody started complaining that that was the only style car that Ford Motor Company sold. And he said, okay, so he revamped it, and he liked it on the first one, so that came to be known as the Model A. Wasn't until later, after the Model A, that he started designing more and more vehicles, and the common thing was, you can get a Model T in any color you want, as long as it's black. He fine-tuned it. He went to work automating and streamlining the production of the car. and the rest is history. Henry Ford could tell you how much every part in that car cost him to make. I have here, my dad showed me this. I didn't even know he had it. This is a sales receipt from the Monet and Saker Ford dealer in Canton, Ohio on 6th Street Southwest. It was to an Ella Hostetter. It's a 1922 Ford Tour model, number 6851209, $437, brand new. I have the sales receipt. Isn't that amazing? One electric starter key, a Ford battery, one set of rims and tires, 10 gallons of gas, and 1 gallon of oil. 10 gallons of gas is worth more than $437 now, but that was what a Model T cost, or Model T cost in 1922. Now, you have to understand something. Henry Ford launched the automotive industry, but he also started building tractors for farms. He built automobiles. He built earth-moving equipment. The Ford Motor Company diversified into many directions, not just cars. During the war, he was forced to build airplanes for the United States government for World War II. And if you remember, they shut down all the other car industries for the war effort. And Henry Ford says, "You have no right to do that. That's communism." He said, "I'm building cars." They said, "Well, we're taking the amount of steel." He said, "That's okay. I'm still building cars." How many of you have ever heard of the old Ford Woodies, where the side panels and doors were wood? That came during the war. He made the parts he could out of wood, and the rest of it he made out of steel. Masterful man. Hundreds and hundreds of industries began due to the industry of making cars for the common person. There, I think the last count that I made, there was 232 industries, not businesses, industries built off of the automation of the building of the vehicles. The first investors in the Ford Motor Company were two brothers with the last name of Dodge. After 5 years, the Dodge brothers decided to have Henry buy them out so they could start their own auto company. They saw how successful it became. The Model T was well known and honestly was the only car, but it was also known for breaking down. It was called a Tin Lizzie. The earlier model, almost all the Model Ts came with a little little tool. It's called a Ford wrench. That is an original Ford wrench. It says Ford USA stamped right on it. That is a Ford wrench. Looks very much like a pipe wrench. Amen, Brother Mike? I'll tell you a little history of the Ford wrench. That wrench could turn any bolt from spark plugs to wheel lugs. Every part on that car that had a bolt on it could be turned with that wrench. You could work on any part of the car with that one wrench. It opens up fairly wide, and you could, now it didn't have much of a handle, so you better be a monster on some of those bigger ones or have a pipe in there to help you with that thing. But the Tin Lizzies, the Model T, were so known for breaking down that you were constantly fiddling with it to keep it running. In the early 1900s, they would use the term you were monkeying around with them, and this became known as a monkey wrench. That is the original monkey wrench. Today we call a crescent wrench a monkey wrench usually, but that is the actual known monkey wrench. Here's another one for one of the later models, has a little longer handle on it, but it opens up to the just about a half inch longer. But there's two of them right there. They were put in every Model T so that you could keep your car running yourself and didn't have to take it somewhere. Now, the Ford wrench reminds me of the Bible. God tells us in Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man cannot live without the Bible. You couldn't run a Model T without a Ford wrench, at least very far. And half the time you had to get out on the way to the trip and fix it again. Now, you cannot keep a Model T going without a Ford wrench, and you can't keep your life going without the Bible. Look at our world today and how miserable it is without the Bible. The farther away people get from the Bible, the more messed up their lives become. Plain and simple. The farther away from the Bible a society gets, the more messed up a society is. Did you know that 30 years ago, people weren't confused on what bathroom to use? You didn't have to wonder if you were a boy or a girl. By the way, you don't have to wonder today either, just so you know. God tells us to be steadfast. That means fastened, bolted into place, screwed tightly, bolted together so as not to come apart. God wants us to use the Word of God to screw us into place, to hold us tightly. It's amazing how much parallel there is between an old Ford wrench and the Word of God. You see, the Bible is what tightens our life to keep us running as smoothly as it can. Oh, life is going to have its accidents. Life's going to hit big bumps. Life might even have crashes. Life is going to have a lot of miles build up on it and cause some wear and tear. Amen, Pop? God gave us the Bible, though, to adjust and tighten things as it gets looser. Now, let me give you a few thoughts here. Number one, the Ford wrench fit every model, no matter the size. Fit every bolt, no matter the size. Can I tell you something? That book will fit every life, no matter the size, no matter the race, no matter the color, no matter the language. It is amazing how that the Word of God applies to every human being. All truth for all people. Did you know that 2 + 2 = 4 in every language? I know that's hard to believe. Did you know that everywhere in the world the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west? Amazing. Did you know that the tides rise and fall across the world and they're calculated at every coastal city in the world? Yeah. If you lived in Charleston, South Carolina, like I did, you had to know what the tidal schedule was because there was half a downtown that you couldn't be in at high tide because it flooded every day. All the water came back up through the sewer systems and stuff and flooded the streets, so you knew which streets to avoid during high tide. And then it would go back out, and then you could drive through the rest of downtown. You say, preacher, it's true. If you've never been to Charleston, you don't understand. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? All people are sinners. All sinners deserve hell. And Jesus paid the price for all sinners. That means the wrench of the Word of God fits everybody. The gospel is for all people. Did you know you can't give the gospel to the wrong person? I've knocked on millions of doors. And I don't mean this unkindly. You add up all the doors of all the people in this room that have knocked on doors in your life. You could add all of yours together and I've knocked on that many myself. I've been doing this for 43 years. I've been at this a long time. Can I tell you something? I've gone to many a places and somebody give me a bad address or a wrong address, or I was at the wrong address and somebody will say, nope, they don't live here. And I'll say, well, I might have the wrong address, but I'm at the right house. They'll look at me. I say, I'm here from the church. Let me give you an invitation. Let me talk to you for a moment. Do you know for sure you go to heaven when you die? You would be surprised how many people got saved because I went to the wrong door. Maybe I didn't go to the wrong door. I may not have had the right address, but I went to the right door. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. By the way, man in his sinful self-righteousness wants to decide what truth to apply to himself and what truth not to apply. Can I tell you something? It's not for us to decide what truth to apply and what not truth not to apply. We're supposed to apply the whole thing. One wrench fits all. We don't pick and choose. The Bible says it's of no private interpretation. This is why we're supposed to teach and preach the truth, not opinion. This is why we're supposed to teach the Word of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to show you a few verses here, and I'll speed up in a moment here, but 2 Peter chapter 1, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, right before you get to the book of 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, Revelation. 2nd Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means this. We're not supposed to preach our opinion. We're not supposed to preach philosophy. We're supposed to preach the Word of God. Teach people the Word of God, and they can learn to apply it in every situation in life. Ford wrench. You knew it was going to fit every bolt. You might not know how to use everything, but you knew it was going to fit. You might not know everything about the Word of God, but I can promise you this, it's going to fit. It will work. Acts chapter 10. Let me read Acts chapter 10 to you, just one verse to you. Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. We read this several weeks ago in our Wednesday evening Bible study, but Acts 10, 34 says this, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons." Right. That means this. God doesn't care what color you are. God doesn't care what race you are. God doesn't care what gender you are. God doesn't care what your preferences are. You're a human being. You're a sinner. And you need the Word of God. Amen. That's what he means by not a respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2 says much the same thing. By the way, the book of Romans is a very powerful book. In Romans chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says this, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Did you know the people in the Philippines and the people in America are the same to God? Do you know the people in South Sudan where Brother Baxter is at right now? Actually, he's done. It's in the middle of the night there. But late yesterday and early this morning, our time, preached in the South Sudan. You know those people that are the same to God as we are? You see, it is amazing that the Bible fits everybody. The truth applies to everybody. So the Ford wrench fit every bolt on the car, just like the Bible fits every life. Number two, the Ford wrench worked on expensive parts or cheap parts. The Bible's not based on your wallet or your value system. Did you know there were some parts that cost less than a tenth of a cent to produce that thing would work on? There were other parts that cost hundreds of dollars, and yet it worked on every one of them. Did you know that the Bible is not a respecter of your wallet and your bank account? I know that's hard to believe. You know, it is amazing how much that a cheap part can stop a car from working. Sometimes it's a cheap part that causes more troubles than the expensive parts. You let one bolt let loose on a tensioner pulley and fling a fan belt or a drive belt one day. Oh, it's not a real expensive part, but it causes the whole thing to stop. One little bearing on one little pulley that has nothing driving it, it's just tension. But you let that bearing wear out, you ain't going nowhere, I promise you. All of a sudden you'll hear this, and everything stops. And say, how do you know? Been there, done that, bought the farm and the t-shirt and put a few of those on. God does not base truth by how much money you have or how important you think you are. Did you know that rich people and poor people will go to heaven? Did you know that rich people and poor people will go to hell? It is not how much money we have. And please don't take this the wrong way. I thank God for people of means. I'm not one of these people that believes that money is evil. The love of money is evil. Greed is evil. But just, I've said it before, I'm not afraid to say it. I never met a poor person that hired anybody. You got to have wealth. One of the richest men that ever lived, a man named John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller was involved in law and then got involved with the oil industry a little bit. Became one of the he was America's first billionaire in the 1800s. You know, John D. Rockefeller was a saved Baptist man. John D. Rockefeller was a very important man in world history, and you don't hear much said about him. Oh, you hear of Rockefeller Center in New York City. By the way, John D. Rockefeller built Standard Oil from Cleveland, Ohio on Euclid Avenue, right down the street from where Jacobs Field is for the Cleveland Indians, or whatever they are now. I'm not politically correct, so I don't give a rip. I haven't watched baseball in so long. I heard they changed their name, but I don't even know what they're called, so it doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? But J.D. Rockefeller knew that his money didn't get him to heaven. God doesn't base entry into heaven by our financial standing. Money nor poverty get you any closer to God. Did you know that the word of God applies to rich people as much as it does poor people? It applies to middle-class people as much as it does upper-class people. And by the way, it applies to poor people as much as it does rich people. It applies to everybody the same way. I say this all the time. I'm glad for folks that have means. I think the best thing that could ever happen to America is we get rid of the IRS. Amen. We put a flat tax on. Everybody pays the same percentage of tax, whether you make $5,000 or $5 million every year. If everybody paid the same percentage, there's no tax deductions. You don't have to pay anything other than that. Can I tell you something? America would be a whole lot better off, and so would we, and we'd have a whole lot more people to work because we wouldn't need the extra $840,000 that he just put on the payroll of the IRS. Now, rich people's cars break down. Us poor people's cars break down. A car is going to break down no matter who owns it. You run a machine long enough, it's going to have trouble. It really will. Now, number three. Some parts may need bound or tightened to keep things running properly. The Bible sometimes has to bind evil to keep your life running smoothly. You take an alternator. The alternator's the pulley's got in the gear mechanism in there's got to spin, but it won't spin right if it's not bolted tightly to the block. So you got to bolt that thing tight enough, because if it loosens up, the belts aren't going to turn right, and it's not going to generate electricity, and your battery's going to die, and your car's going to quit. If you don't blow the belt first. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Can I tell you something? That book right there is never bound. There are no limitations to the obedience to that book right there. The more you obey it, the more God blesses. God's blessing on our church today. How does that happen, preacher? In obedience to the word of God. As we obey God, look what God can do. How many times have you heard me say, we do our part, God takes care of the rest. What is that? The more we obey it, the more God can bless. Not the less we obey it, the more we obey it. We say, well, somebody else did it, so I don't have to. Don't take the blessing of God off. Turn to James chapter 8. I'm sorry, John chapter 8, not James. Can't read my own handwriting. John chapter 8. I knew there was no James chapter 8. That's why it caught my attention. John chapter 8, look at verse number 31. If you have a James chapter 8, throw your Bible away. It's the wrong one. John chapter 8, look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice it is the truth that's not bound. Truth will bind evil so that truth can abound. We started our Christian school this year. Praise the Lord. By the way, November 13th, I believe, we're going to have a Sunday morning here about our Christian school. And Brother Josh is going to show you what's been happening in the school. The kids are going to be involved with it and probably quote a bunch of scripture to you and show you some things. And you'll get to see. They've memorized most of John chapter 3. It's amazing. First quarter report cards are getting ready to go out. And out of all of our kids, I wish you could see there's not anybody in our school that didn't get straight A's. An overall GPA. Everybody, by the way, our A's stop at 94, not 90. We have the old grading system. Say why? Because I'm old. And I believe in making it tougher than it ought to be. There was a day when we didn't dumb everything down. And they've earned it, and I'm proud of them. I got to shut up or I'm going to spoil the thunder for a couple weeks from now. But can I tell you something? Our school systems have taught there's no such thing as truth. If you can reason 2 + 2 = 3, and if you can show your work, then we'll accept it. That's a bunch of garbage. They never had Mrs. Hartline for an English teacher. That lady had a red pen, and she exploded that thing all over my paper every time I wrote something. I think she went through more red pens than any human being I've ever met in my entire life. She would proofread my signature to make sure I had all the letters in it. I mean, good night. But thank God for it. You say, why? She made me a better person and better able to communicate with people. I understand what good grammar is. Sometimes I don't use it because I know who I'm talking to. I predominantly use good grammar, though. Now, the Bible helps us bind sin and evil from us so we can be free to obey the truth of the Word of God and get the blessings of God. You say, well, preacher, all this is just, it's so hard. No, it's not hard. Tighten yourself in and watch God do the rest. Let the Word of God bind the evil away from you so that you're not going dealing with all those things. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, staying unmovable. That means in place. It allows the motor of God's blessings to work smoothly. You say, why? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse number 8. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, what's the next word? Steadfast. Screwed into place. Tightly. In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God says you're only going to be able to resist the devil if you're screwed into place with the word of God. Folks, just because you stubbed your toe doesn't mean you did battle with the devil. Because your car wouldn't start, or you had a flat tire, or you got a nail in your tire, that wasn't the devil. The devil's a whole lot more powerful than you stubbing your stupid toe. Or me stubbing my stupid toe like I did the other day. You see, we have to have ourselves bolded tightly to the word of God so that we have the freedom of God's motor of blessing to bless us in our life. That means you're going to have to resist the devil and the vibrations and the shaking that he does on it to try to back that bolt off and get you unloosened. We got to tighten down, not loosen up. Hey, this isn't a day to get more casual. It's a day to be a little tighter than everybody else. Well, preacher, your church is just so old-fashioned. Thank you very much. Well, you're just so 1980s. No, I go back about 1900 years before that, sweetie. I go all the way back to Jesus. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has to offer. Next to lastly. The Ford wrench adjusts to the need. The Bible is the living word of God and will adjust to your every need. The Bible applies to all cultures. The Bible applies to all people equally. By the way, the Bible is for the layman as much as it is for the preacher. The Bible is for the lost world as much as it is for the saved world. Did you know there are lost business people following biblical principles that are successful? Because it's the principles that succeed, not the person. You see, the Bible lives and grows with our lives at every stage of life. You'll laugh at this, but it's true. I'm 55 years old, and I am grandpa. Amen, Hunter? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. I decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy getting older. I want to be a fun grandpa. I like being a fun grandpa. So when we knew Hunter was ours for good, I asked his mommy and daddy if I could get him a .22 rifle. And I got to give him his first .22 rifle. And I got to take him out with it. I let his dad stand with him and shoot it, though. I stood behind him. Now, wait a minute. I love being a grandpa. My daughter's pregnant. In February, she's supposed to have a little boy. She lost twins back in March this last year. Now she's going to have Hudson. Can I tell you something? I'm excited about it. I already told him I'm buying his first .22 rifle. If it's a girl, I've got to figure out something else to do because I don't think the girls want .22 rifles. But some may, but what was that? Shotgun. That's for the daddies. Now, wait a minute. I decided I'm going to enjoy every stage of life. I enjoyed being young, married, with no children. That lasted a couple years. Then we had children. I decided I was going to enjoy the young adult parenting years. Not every one of those years was enjoyable, but many were. I even tried to decide to enjoy the teen years of my children. That was a temptation. It was many years ago I saw a bumper sticker that says, "I don't need drugs, I have teenagers." That's as far from reality as I need to get. I wished I could find that bumper sticker, but I did enjoy my children as teenagers. I enjoyed them as they went into college. I've enjoyed the empty nest. It's just my wife and I. I love that. Say, were you sad? No. Matter of fact, I sold my house, moved, and they don't have keys to my house. Glory to God. My kids had to come home and, "Where do you live, Dad?" Anyway, can I tell you something? I've just decided as I get older, I'm going to enjoy it. I don't think it's going to be miserable. Now, I have the same aches and pains. My wife, she's always going to be young. She's always going to be perfect. Amen? I say that right? Okay. I get to go home tonight and sleep on the bed, not the couch. But can I tell you something? That Bible fits every stage of life. We're getting ready to beef some things up. We're getting ready to add three more Sunday school classes and getting ready to start a teen class, getting ready to split our adults three different ways and getting ready to do some things that way. You say, why? Because we need to fit the need of everybody at every age level. And the Bible applies to every age level. The Bible is not to be changed. It's to be applied where you live. We have too many people wanting to change the Bible. Let's not change it. Let's just live it at where we are. Did you know there's things about this book I understand now after having been married 33 years and pastoring and in the ministry for over 30 years that I didn't understand 30 years ago when I first got married? You say, why? Experience. People don't need to see our life or humanism to learn how to adjust. They need the word of God and truth to learn how to adjust it. We don't need to watch somebody turn the wrench. We need to put it in their hand and make them turn the wrench. It's not about how we know how to turn the wrench. It's to give them the wrench and have them turn the wrench. My goal is not to give our children a toolbox full of tools when they leave Grace Baptist Church school. My job is to give them a toolbox, and they have used every tool in that box to where they're already familiar with it, not just know what it is and can tell me what it's for, but they can use every tool and have used it over and over and over again so that when they graduate, they go out there and say, this is reaction. I know what to get. Let's get this. Use this wrench on this bolt this way. Here we go. Too many people with a full toolbox walking around saying, look at my toolbox, and they don't know how to do anything. Next, lastly, the Ford wrench gave hope to those needing to get somewhere. That was your hope. Car broke again. You grab the wrench. That's your hope. Can I tell you something? That book right there is your hope. When you're flailing in the storms of life, the word of God will be your hope. I can't tell you how many times I have run to the word of God needing hope and God comes through. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 4. Oh, I quote this verse so many times in my life. Verse number 4, for 2 Corinthians chapter 1, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Miss Kathy, hasn't been but a few weeks, 5-6 weeks, Miss Osi was going to heaven. Told you I couldn't fix it, but we found hope in the word of God. She took her last breath and she was in heaven. We had to go through the suffering to get to the consolation at the end. Miss Loretta, Brother Jimbo's been gone. Dad, Mom's been gone. Scott, your mama's been gone. Beth, your brother just went to heaven. I can't take the pain away, but I can tell you what, there's hope in that book right there. And when a saved person dies, they don't die. They go to live eternal life. If you've not read that little booklet on death I have sitting out there by the door, grab one. It'll change it'll change everything about your life and your approach to death. I promise you. Oh, we got to go through the grieving process. No, you don't. That's psychology. That's what man says you have to go through. Why don't we live the Bible? You see, the Bible and the Holy Spirit will hold you tightly to give you hope through the word of God. Please don't get mad at me. The worst thing to do is run away from church when you go through problems. I will never understand this statement. Well, the hardest place to go after somebody dies is church. That'll be the first place you run, not the last place. You find hope by doing, not by knowing. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I'll finish with two verses. I promise. Give me 2 minutes and I'll be done. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 5, verse number 4. And let's skip up to verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Notice, hope comes from the Holy Ghost, which comes from the Word of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, right after the book of 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 5. Galatians 5:5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Preacher, I just don't see the end. You don't have to see the end if you can see the one who sees the end. I happen to know something. He sees a whole lot farther than I do. And I determined a long time ago, if I'll do it his way, it doesn't matter what the outcome is here. It's when I get there that it matters. But I've found, Brother Joe, the more I obey it here, the more he blesses here. It's amazing to me how God blesses people who obey the Word of God. When they get screwed in tight, they use the Word of God for everything instead of what their opinion is, how they see it. Well, you might see it that's a 3/4-inch bolt, but if it's a 2-inch bolt, can tell you something? You can see it as a 3/4-inch, but you're not going to get it on there. It might be a 3/16 bolt, but if you got it opened up to 1 1/4 inches, you ain't going to turn it. Knowing how to turn it and turn it tightly is the key. I've got to quit. Just an old wrench. Henry Ford knew what was needed to keep the old tin Lizzies going. He made it available, not only the car at a common man's wage, but he also made the wherewithal to fix it. God knew we were sinners. God knew we would break down on a regular basis. So God gave us his word and said, if you just use it and apply it to every situation, it's amazing what he can do in us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder how many times we fail in life because we want to do it our way, not God's way. Lessons from a greasy old Ford wrench. Wonder who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand on my soul? Many hands, you may put them down.